Hello and welcome back to the BC Variety Podcast. Today is April 30th, and we'll be discussing gaming news and other things gaming related today on the podcast.
And now I'll introduce our special guest for today. Well, I won't introduce him. He'll introduce himself. Go ahead.
Hello, I'm Luke Rex.
That's Luke Rex, everyone. The legendary, the one and the only Luke Rex. A couple weeks ago, I believe it was Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, Joker released for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Wait, from Batman? Batman Joker?
No. Joker from Persona 5.
Whoa, that Joker.
Uh-huh. It is a PlayStation exclusive, but the creator of Super Smash Bros., Masahiro Sakurai, loves the Persona games. So
Daddy Sakurai.
Daddy Sakurai has blessed us all with the PlayStation exclusive Joker character.
I don't think anyone expected that. Let's be fair.
I expected it.
All right. Well, then you're the only one.
Let's go with your first impressions. How do you feel while playing him?
You know, watching his trailers and everything, yep. I expected him to just be completely busted.
Yeah.
But when I had my hands on him, I think he's a pretty neat character to kind of get into. Like, you actually have to, like, think while playing as him. And he's just a really good time. Like, he's not as busted as I expected him to be. Like, he's actually pretty balanced as far as, like, new DLC characters go.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. From my first impressions from playing him, I thought that he was, like you described, you have to think about what you're doing every time you do something. You can't just pull out aerials constantly. You can't be constantly trying to approach people. You kind of have to sit back and you have to wait for your counters, because in your original form without your persona attached to you, you are very weak. You are very susceptible to getting comboed. But once you have your persona, you change from a kind of weak character to an overall pretty strong character. You have very good moves.
You summon your persona Arsene, and you're just a tank at that point.
Yeah, really are.
Let's talk about the real cream of the crop here. It's not just Joker I'm like amazed about. His stage.
Yeah, his stage is pretty nice too. I will say I played with it with hazards on, and it's a little janky.
And the stage just changes
based
on the music. They did not need to do that.
Oh, no.
But I appreciate that
the music that they've included in this DLC is fantastic.
Like, if you use Persona Absolutely 3 fantastic. Music, it uses the Persona 3 colors.
Uh-huh.
Uses Persona 4, uses the Persona 4 colors.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
And even, like, the victory theme changes. It's, like, a step beyond what I expected them to go for. I appreciate that attention detail greatly.
I do as well. There's also the train at the bottom of the stage that comes and it runs you over. It instantly kills you, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's fantastic. I've been caught with that a couple of times.
It's just my favorite, like, casual stage, like, easily.
Yeah. So... I have one grievance with the actual character himself. It's that whenever you do get your persona, Arsene, its model kind of covers up what Joker's model. So whenever you're running around as Joker, you're playing as Joker, or you're playing against Joker, it's kind of hard to see through the persona that's covering up a lot of his body. I think maybe an opacity change would be nice. As of right now, he's a little bit too... I don't know if it's color clash or if it's a model difference, but right now he's a little bit too opaque to see all of what Joker is doing when he's running around.
You know, I get what you mean. I don't think it bothered me that much, honestly. I think some kind of opacity would...
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be that much either. It just needs to be a little bit to where we can see that it's there. We can see that the Joker has it, but not to the point where it's kind of overpowering the character itself.
Uh-huh.
Right. I think that would be a good little change right there. But yeah, overall, I thought Joker was a lot of fun to play. I thought he was a little bit slow. Especially in his aerial movements and his landing lag.
Yes.
I thought that was a little bit slow, but I think that factors into the nature of the character itself. Whereas he is an homage to the games, I suppose, where you are having to be a little calculating. You have to think about stuff before you do it, right? I think in that aspect, Sakurai has captured the essence of the character in the game very well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. Fantastic. Let's move on to sort of a debacle, I guess. Mortal Kombat 11's release was recent? Like last week,
I'd say. Yep. Just about.
Okay. I have not played the game, but I have.
But guess what? I have.
Yes, you have. That's why you're here. So I've heard a lot about the game. I've heard a lot about people's issues with it, mainly being that a lot of the overkill animations, I guess the finishers, are too extended, too repetitive. Once you see it the first time, you go, wait, that's so cool. And then the next times, you're just like, okay, this again. I'm kind of tired of it, right? Yeah. But there are other things besides that. You want to get into them?
Yes. So the game, as with most AAA games do nowadays, have a bit of a messy little launch. So the game is online only. And so the first day, I had nothing but disconnections, internet errors, and even doing any single player mode would just kick me right off. So that was a little frustrating at first. But then it got day one patch. Now the servers are a lot better now. So I can move past that.
Yeah.
Thing is, the game is so grindy and so slow that it's almost unplayable at this point in mm-hmm. time. Thankfully, they're working on a patch on that. They acknowledge that the game's kind of in a bad state. And so they gave us some coins as rewards, and they promised the reward system to be improved. And, yeah, I mean, good on them for acknowledging that, it's a little messy right now.
All right. So when you describe the game as slow and grindy, is that through unlocking characters or progressing through the story itself?
You get all the characters just at the start.
Okay, great.
But the game has, a gear system where you can customize the look of your characters. Like, they're all cosmetic.
It's all cosmetic?
It's all cosmetic. Okay. But in order to do that, it is very grindy.
Yeah. It is nice how they did actually include all of the characters upon the initial startup of the game.
Well, technically one character you have to unlock playing story mode.
Okay.
But you can still buy her if you want. So I don't know why.
Oh, I see.
And Shao Kahn is a pre-order character bound to be DLC in the future.
Okay, yeah.
And plus the... is it like a $35 season pass?
$35 season pass?
30 something, yeah.
That's a little high.
Yeah.
Wow. What does that get you? Do you know?
Just the DLC characters.
Just the DLC characters? Yep. Huh. That's interesting. You're paying $35 for one character right now? Or is it...
There's a bunch of characters.
There's a bunch of them? Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. So
that'll all be kind of released individually.
Gotcha. So the slowness just comes from gaining the cosmetics at a steady rate.
Like, as you complete towers and objectives, you earn coins, and you can use those coins to go to a crypt where you can buy a random object.
Okay.
And note that it is random. So, you'll have to be really lucky to get what you want out of everything.
Right. So, there's not,
there's not, anything online that says, all right, this skin or this fatality is on this part of the island.
You can't go to a place to get the thing that you want. No, it's just completely random. Randomized. Oh.
Every character, every player gets like a new experience.
Mm-hmm. So you do a lot of work, right? You do a lot of work.
Yes.
And then you go and you you redeem it at the crypt.
Yes.
And it could be, do they give you duplicates, or once you get something, you probably won't get it again?
Once you get it, you're just that is the chest.
Okay.
So you're just never going to get it again.
Okay, that's good. No duplicates are good.
Yeah.
As
far as I'm aware, yeah.
Yeah. If there were duplicates, that would be horrible. Yes. That would be horrible, terrible.
But I will say, despite my grievances and my bad first impressions, I am really digging the game. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
I just wish it came out in a more polished state. But yeah. Again, yeah, they said they're coming out with a fix, so that should make the rewards more lenient. That should be fun.
That's great. Just one last little thing. I'm happy to see that it's not like Star Wars Battlefront, where the Star Wars Battlefront 2 in specific, where you have to play some upwards of like 80 hours to get one character. Yes. Right. I'm happy it's not like that, but still having random drops for cosmetic items where you should be able to go and maybe select from like an option. Is it selected from an option of randomized, or is it just one randomized?
I think just one randomized.
One randomized? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think even selecting from an option of like three or four randomized would be better if you... If you go and you're like, okay, I'm redeeming this, and then it gives you like four or five choices, that would be so much better than just one. And then it's a character that you don't play, and it's all this other stuff. And it's like, maybe I should be unlocking stuff with a character that I played for to get these coins or something like that, you know?
Yeah, you don't get the red Winston skin when you have to main D.Va.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was an issue I had in Overwatch with all the loot boxes and things. It's not so much about who you play; it's just so random. And I never had any good luck, so I never got any of those cool legendary skins.
If Battlefront 2 did anything right, it did mark the end of loot boxes.
Sort of. Well, I guess
I'm done with that whole legal thing.
The pay for. Okay, so it was like the pay for so the pay for loot boxes thing was more or less I guess you have to, like, whenever you pay for loot boxes, you are effectively gambling, so you kind of have to at least as the company, you have to disclose your drop rates, all the things that are in the boxes. You have to, like, disclose those. Otherwise, it's, like, illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's still stuff that's loot boxes out there, but you know what you're getting in them.
Yeah.
I think in Battlefront 2, it was just very under wraps. No one... It wasn't consistent. It wasn't transparent, and I think that was one of the big reasons why people didn't like it. And also just paying for power, right?
Yes.
Paying for power is a huge issue. You pay for a couple of loot boxes, all of a sudden you've got, like, you get lucky, you got one of the best items in the game, right? That shouldn't be able to happen. Things in loot boxes should be cosmetic. Maybe you get, like, you know what, you can get like a new character out of it, but as long as it's not a straight upgrade to power, I believe that is fine. Like a sideways, maybe diagonal upgrade to maybe a character, right? Mm-hmm. One character is probably better than another, but if you get it out of a loot box, you know, good luck to you. It's probably a really low rate.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But I
think it's going to be a while before we get another, like, Battlefront 2-esque, like,
yeah, I hope fiasco. Not. I hope not. I hope people...
I think it is hilarious to see I think these it's companies hilarious just as well. Make... horrible decisions and paying the price.
Yeah, I personally hope that a lot of companies reconsider their business models. That's all I have to say about that.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on here.
Thank you, Luke. We'll see you next time on the BC Variety Podcast.